Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week, where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Listen, good day to Grenada, Caraco, PD1, Inc., those of you listening across the Caribbean and the world at large. Thank you for joining me here. This is Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon. And as always, a pleasure and a joy to always have interesting persons sitting around the table out of finance. And today I have Mr. Ruel Edwards, who is head of the Department of Economic and Technical Cooperation. He'll be talking to us what is happening there. Many of you know him. He was on marketing board. And have it on fire. Let's hope you bring that fire across to finance, at least to make it happen. So we'll discuss today a number of things. You take a word from our sponsors, you come right back and continue discussion here with Mr. Ruel Edwards.
Come with your dream to the Grenada Development Bank, and we will find a way to finance it. Whether you want to start a business or refinance an existing project, whether you want a mortgage for house or land, or a loan for a vehicle, or your educational advancement, we have a special to finance your energy conservation overhaul for your home or office. They all come with the lowest interest rates. At the GDB, the People of Grenada Bank, we encourage ideas and we finance dreams. Come into us because the future is yours. The Grenada Development Bank. Empower, transform.
Welcome back, folks. As I indicate to you, Mr. Ruel Edwards is in the studio. Welcome to Inside Finance.
Thank you very much, Pastor Stanford. It's good to be here. When you said on fire, remember earlier this year, marketing board actually was on fire. So we have to be careful. Next thing you know, the police come knocking on my door, you know. But it's certainly a pleasure to be here to chat with you and the listeners all over. I will not say Grenada, but all over the world,
right?
Because we know what the wonders of internet. So it's really a joy being here.
Right. Now, you have, were there, I'm surprised that you quickly, when did that move take place?
The second of May, I started there. So I've been essentially at the job for the last 40 days, and it has been a fantastic experience. I've just actually finished some work with Frankfurt School of Finance and Management in development finance. So it's essentially right up my alley, nothing that I'm not really used to. So it's really a joy being able to serve the people. The present governor of the Eastern Caribbean Central Bank very often says that public service is all about serving the people. So it's an honor for me to do that. So I'm really enjoying it, and I look forward to making my contribution towards the growth and development of this beautiful piece of rock called Grenada.
That's good. What is your responsibility within the department that you have?
Right. So the Department of Economic and Technical Cooperation, we essentially see ourselves as being the nucleus of the entire seat of government. We're positioned in the ministry. We're positioned in the Ministry of Finance. But we touch and concern any major development project that takes place in Grenada. So we have two basic functions. The first one is management of what is called the PSIP, which is Public Service Investment Program. So any major capital investment that government is expected to do or government plans to do has to pass through my department. We are responsible for helping develop the project concept, doing the appraisal. And then the other part of our responsibility is resource mobilization. So it is our job to work with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and other ministries to raise monies internationally, both debt and grant, preferably grant, to do capital projects and other investments here in Grenada. So that is our core function.
How many persons are within your department?
The department currently has 7 people. We are working now to strengthen the capacity of the staff there. So we're looking to bring in additional people, relocate individuals to other functions that they're better at, and bring in some other capacities, both from within the public service and outside of the public service. So, for example, if we are responsible for doing project appraisals on a health project, We need to at least have somebody within our department that understands a little thing about health, understands something about infrastructure. In terms of the business part of it, well, you know, I am there. I can provide that kind of a leadership. So we're trying to broaden the range of expertise within the department and to also get different perspectives, make sure we have a good gender balance as well. We don't want a male-dominated or female-dominated department. We'd like to have... We're trying to have gender balance. Because, you know, because we deal a lot with project appraisals and making sure that we design projects that fit into the country, you want to have as multiple perspectives as possible. So the sort of mood and environment that we're working to create in the department is where any member of staff will feel very comfortable to say what they think about a particular project in a spirit of confidence and freeness. So at least we can get the best kind of appraisals coming through. So when a project is designed for Grenada, at least we know we've taken into consideration as many different perspectives as is possible so that the project can really fit into the long-term growth and development of the country. So it's a very exciting place to work.
You look excited.
I am excited. It's a lot of work, I must tell you. It's not stressful, but it is a lot of work because you have to read every proposal. You have to read every agreement. You have to read everything that comes through to make sure that the recommendations that you provide to the PS in finance and the cabinet by extension is sound and that you've covered every base. And I think that is an enormous responsibility and we don't take it lightly in the department. So I'm excited over that actually.
Okay. So that whole department has a lot to offer. What are the current challenges being faced by the central government as it relates to implementing projects? And is there any role for the Department of Economic Technical Cooperation? Because I would think there is a big task by you, but at least to be able, there are challenges, even with the globalization, even what's happening in the US and with the EU and all of that, and with China. We have our own challenges here. So talk to us about that.
Yes, well, we have a number. I will take those that we have locally first in terms of implementation. Very often you would hear that the public service has a challenge with implementation, or across the board, that we suffer from what is called implementation deficit. I think here in Grenada, it's no different, that we do have quite a significant amount of projects that the government would have signed off on, that the financial and funding arrangements are in place. So it's not like the government has to go and look for monies. In a lot of instances, those are grant resources that are available.
Money that we don't have to pay back.
Money that you don't have to pay back that are available for project implementation. And yet, for all, we do have challenges in implementing it. And a couple of things, you know, I think is responsible for that in terms of what we've seen. So the first one we have is a capacity challenge. In other words, the breadth of projects that ought to be implemented. In some instances, those are new industries that we are developing. So for example, in the geothermal arena, the geothermal space, we have not operated in geothermal before. So that is a new industry that is emerging. So you have to ensure that we build capacity there to be able to implement that project. Now that is taking some time to get the right people. Of course, sometimes you have to bring in a consultant and then to begin to train your own people to understand the language of geothermal. That is one. Renewable energy is also, and climate change is also something that is very new. And that is big. Every single project that comes through has to cater for the climate impact. So we are now beginning, none of our schools here, the secondary school or even TAMCC, is doing anything substantial in terms of environmental science or renewable energy, etc. So we have to begin that process of training. And then the other challenge we have is we do have a lot of projects on the infrastructure side that is taking place. And there could be bottlenecks in terms of supplies. Very often the financial term is overheating of the economy. So we have to manage that in a way that you do not overheat the economy. So those are some of the challenges. The other challenge I think we have is a communication, which is easy to fix, where a particular ministry or department may have information on a particular project and there are some challenges that they're experiencing, but that has not yet been communicated to the ministry that can help them, the ministry that can help resolve it. The role of the Department of Economic and Technical Cooperation is to bring all those pieces together. So there are things that are called conditions precedent, meaning that if we get some support from the European Union, before you can make the first drawdown, you ought to ensure that you have what is called a project steering committee in place who is going to oversee the project. You need to make sure that the bank account that is going to be sent to the government is properly established and the signatories are established. If there are people that ought to be relocated, that those things are done, etc., and the feasibility studies and all those things are done. We see ourselves as being able to pull everybody together because we know what the development agency is looking for, because we are in contact with them.
Okay.
Then we can touch each and every ministry to send them the information, to let them know this is what is required, this is what is expected, and we become what we call the repository for information. So everybody is going to pipe in their information to us, we clarify issues, and we can get projects moving along. So that is one of the roles that we believe we can play with project implementation. We also think that we have a big responsibility in negotiating on behalf of government the shape of projects, and to make sure that the terms and conditions that are included in projects are things that we can satisfy and take advantage of. So, for example, we need to make sure that when you look at a project and you're speaking of the procurement, that we do not agree that for somebody to bid, they need to have $2-3 million EC dollars sit down in an account as a cash security, that they need to be have employed 200 people. Yeah. It means that we are excluding some of our smaller businesses and only the international firms can actually compete. So those are things that we would be looking at to negotiate into contracts to make sure that our local people, local firms get an opportunity to compete. They may not necessarily win the contract,
but at least have opportunity.
They have an opportunity to bid. They have an opportunity to negotiate. So those are things that we believe would help improve implementation. And the other thing is that there is a big oversight committee called the POC, Prioritizing Oversight Committee, that includes the Ministry of Implementation, the Ministry of Finance, and all the other ministries at a very high level, where we would be meeting once a month to look at the list of projects that we have and get each of the different project managers to come in and to report where they are, the issues that they're having, and how we can resolve it. We think if we have everybody in the room at the same time, the people who are able to make the decisions, then we can make those decisions, make the recommendation to cabinet, cabinet signs off, and then we can get projects moving. So it's really trying to bring that level of urgency into our department and into the ministry in terms of we need to get this thing done, get it done properly, get it done now, on time, within budget, according to specification, because the population is depending on us to be good trustees of the public bus.
Is the pipeline of government projects funded, and can they really bring about transformation, or they just another set of projects? Because you know you have another set of projects. People do projects because they get a project and they do it. Mm-hmm. But are this project bringing benefit to the country and benefit to the community for which the project will be done within?
Yes. I was surprised when I got in there that we have, hundreds of millions, close to $500 million, EC dollars, of projects that have been signed off. The funds have already been allocated and is there and is waiting to be implemented. So government do not have to go and look for monies.
Half a billion?
Half a billion. Government do not have to go and look for monies to implement projects. The monies are already there. In a lot of instances, some of the size of the projects are grant. So two big projects, for example, the Western Corridor project, where you're going to upgrade the entire western side, the road, etc. That is funded by the UK government under what is called the UK Caribbean Infrastructure Project.
Mm.
That is 30 million euros. That is fully funded. That is grant that is coming to Grenada that government do not have to repay.
And the money sitting on
The money is there, and we have to be able to implement it. So movements are being made. A lot of pre-feasibility work is being done to get that project moving. And that is a project that I think is going to result in tremendous benefit to the people of the Western Corridor. What it's going to do is to open up opportunities for some of the smaller industries in terms of our tourism industry or agritourism industry that can open up on the Western Corridor.
So that has to do with roads?
Is roads rehabilitation. Yeah. Okay. So that's on the Western Corridor. Another major project that is in the pipeline is the water project. Yeah, Resilience Water Project. That's for the St. George's down to the south, down to the airport.
Right, which is growing rapidly.
Which is growing rapidly and funded by the Green Climate Fund. That is now $46 million grant resources.
So you talk about 200,000 EC dollars there
already.
Already
in grant
in two projects.
In two projects in grant resources. What that water project is going to do is basically improve the water distribution in the south of the island. It's going to improve in terms of waste management. The Grenada Solid Waste has a project that is funded by the Caribbean Development Bank to improve on the Perseverance site to make sure we can properly treat waste, and that is a forerunner. That is going to benefit the entire population because it means our environment is going to be clean. There are also other projects, pockets of projects that touches energy and energy conservation, and how, from a government standpoint, how do we change out all of the fluorescent bulbs into LEDs, more energy efficient bulbs throughout the 200 buildings that government own. That is going to reduce government electricity bill. It is also going to lower our carbon footprint. If government has a lower expenditure, it means that the fiscal space is going to be expanded so government can provide better services. There is a project in the health health sector. As you know, the National Insurance Scheme, that is a project in itself, and support is being provided there. There is also grant resources provided for what is called the Blue Innovation Institute. The ocean space is big. How do we develop the ocean space in a sustainable way to make use of it? I was recently told that P.T. Martinique, that almost everybody in P.T. Martinique could swim because they live on the sea. That's where they find their resources from. And we can make better use of the resources we have in the sea. So there are a range of projects in the pipeline that are fully funded, that are going to transform, I think, the very communities. What is important to us is that the projects do not just reside within what we call the city center, the St. George's or Grenville, but that those projects can actually go through the various communities. So on Friday last, a team of us, including SIAP, we were in Karakou looking at the ponds in Karakou and how we can develop a project to submit to the Adaptation Fund for modernization, restoration and modernization of all the public ponds in Karakou so that it can hold water during the rainy season. So when the dry season comes, the farmers, etc., has access to water for their crops, but also for their plants. Enormous potential. To me, that is going to transform how agriculture and livestock rearing is handled in Karakou, and to integrate the ponds into what is called green spaces. So it really beautified. People can go and, you know, lime around by the ponds, you know, in the evening and have conversation and build community spirit. So those are some of the initiatives that are in the pipeline that we are working on that really translate into going into the various communities. Very, very excited, you know, exciting times, I think, ahead for us if we are able to get the job done.
Well, I can see that you're excited about this. Let me remind our listeners, speaking to Mr. Ruel Edwards, he's in the Department of Economic and Technical Cooperation. Now, the big thing is climate. Is climate change ever considered in your work? And how can the government translate the challenges of climate change into real benefits for the population? You know, mention about some of the things you're going to do in the south in terms of the water in Karakou. What else is happening? How can the public benefit from all of this that you are talking about?
Yeah, climate change is real. I think if we look at the east coast, especially the northeastern part of Grenada with the sargassum seaweed, that is testimony of it. If we go back to Hurricane Ivan, that is testimony that we're experiencing effects of climate change. If we look at our water resource, I was told that Grenada is already water stressed, and so we have to make better use of how we use water. So we know that climate change is real. What the department has been doing, as led through by Cabinet, we've been developing a number of plans. So we already have approved by Cabinet a document called our National Adaptation Plan, or NAP.
That's until 2030?
No, the 2030 is a sustainable development plan. That is our overall plan that speaks to where Grenada wants to go or where Grenada should be. The National Adaptation Plan basically looks at how do we take our water sector and make it adapt to climate change? How do we take our waste disposal and make it adapt to climate change? How do we treat the marine environment and make it adaptable to climate change? How do we look at infrastructure and make sure that our infrastructure is climate proof and climate screened? So at our department, what we do, we ensure that every project that comes through, before it can enter into the national budget, that we do what is called a climate screening of those projects, that we check those projects to see if they catered for the impact of climate change. If we're looking at the roads, how are we designing those roads? Are those roads designed in a manner that is going to take care of climate change? So would we leave, just do the roads and leave the drains? Or would we prepare the drains to handle the water to prevent soil erosion? When we look at a building, the location of the building, are we catering for reforestation, etc., to make sure that the soil can be kept together by trees planted around?
Right.
So all those things are done in terms of when we have projects coming forward. In terms of the opportunities for the citizens, the climate change, while it presents challenges, it also presents opportunities. So, for example, in the area of agriculture, there is an opportunity now for businesses to evolve in providing different kinds of services by way of mulch material, composting material. We no longer should import, to me, inorganic fertilizer when we can have organic fertilizer that can be readily made available to our people. That is a business opportunity. When we speak of ecotourism, because people are becoming very sensitive to climate change, they would want to not just stay in a hotel and experience sand, sun, and sea, but they would also like to go into the nature, go into communities. So Montrich, I know, just opened up a community tourism venture. They would want to experience a lot more of that. We have an opportunity, I think, to develop some of our sites that takes into consideration the environment, that takes into consideration the local things that we offer. So while they present challenges, I also believe that there are huge opportunities for us that climate change can bring itself. I mean, one final thing. In terms of, like, say, like a St. George's, we have an opportunity now to build St. George's while maintaining our heritage into what we call a smart city, where we make use of technology, but we also make use of designs that are climate friendly, that we redevelop the carenage to lift it a little bit so that water doesn't come across, but also give it the kind of a look and feel for pedestrians to enjoy walking across the carenage. I remember many years ago sitting on the carenage, looking at the setting of the sun, sucking an ice cream and having a beautiful conversation. You know, so I remember those things, you know, when I was going GBSS and going college many years ago. So I believe that the opportunities are huge. What we plan to do as the Department of Economic and Technical Cooperation is to engage with the private sector and the general public in a lot more transparent way so that we can capture their ideas and include it in our plans and development.
Your department very engaged and a lot is happening. But again, the challenge would be, is there a mechanism for the private sectors or NGO and local communities to connect with government? Because it's always a problem. You can't connect. You're trying to get to your guys, and your guys traveling, but the place, so much happening, y'all don't bother with us.
Right.
The question is, they say government get elected, and after they get elected, they don't bother with the people. Mm-hmm. But is there a way for the private sector and NGOs and individuals to connect with your department?
Yeah, that is true. It is not very clear yet, and I think that is a tough question. What is the best mechanism? Outside of, you know, hosting programs and people calling in.
Right.
We've started with the private sector. So last week, Wednesday, we had a private sector breakfast where Minister Steele, Minister Oliver Joseph, myself, we engaged with the private sector. So we had the Hotel and Tourism Association, the Chamber, representative from the bank, representative from the construction industry, to talk about the issue of climate change. And what came out was, it's important for there to be a go-to person, a go-to department for the public to engage in, even the NGOs. So this week, we would be looking within our department to review what mechanism we can put in place through it an email, through it a phone number, through it the website, where the NGOs can reach out to us, we can reach out to them, and also have a formalized process of engagement. So, for example, if we have every quarter, we would meet with the NGO and civil society and the private sector to present to them the opportunities, because there are a lot of funding available. We need ideas. For that idea to come, it means we have to engage. So very often the funding goes unabated, goes without being tapped into.
Being used.
Being used because we did not capture the idea from the citizens. And then the other part of it, apart from capturing the idea to develop programs, is how do we present back to them through the consultative process projects that are being developed, that it's going to touch and affect their lives in some instances positively. In other instances, it may have negative consequences. How do we present that to them to show them that this is a risk, but we've catered for a mitigation of those risks so that you will not be negatively affected? Those are things that we are now trashing out, because I believe that the communities do have a lot of solutions for the community problems. some of the problems that are being faced in the communities, they themselves have solutions. But how do we meet with them?
Engage
them to pull the solution from them and come back and help them implement the solution. So our department, we see ourselves as being the conduit to pull solutions, to develop projects, to solve problems that are community-based.
What do you consider to be a major gap in our development as a country? Even as you go in, you're 40 days in it.
Yeah.
But you have been outside, you have looked, you've been in business, you have seen, you've been in the media, you've seen. Now you are within government itself where you actually can see the funding that available. You have $500 million available. Nobody really working to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
What are those gaps that you see that we have in Grenada?
There are a few. I think the first one, which is a work in progress, has to be that long-term development vision, that long-term development plan. We know that the 2030 plan is being developed, and hopefully that can be accomplished today. The Prime Minister, who is also the Minister of Finance, has made it extremely clear to the leadership that he expects the plan to be completed this year. So the mandate is to do that. So my department has reached out to friendly donors, including the United Nations, to get support to fund bringing that plan to fruition. We've received favorable response, and we expect not many days from now to really start the public consultation. So that is the very first one. The second one is the human resource gap. Whilst we may have high unemployment, when we look at where the unemployment lies and then we look at where the opportunities exist, we have a major gap in that area. And we can just take one in terms of the construction sector. The availability of skilled personnel, and including technicians and architects, I don't think we have enough.
It is a problem.
Yeah, it is a challenge for the where we want to go and the amount of infrastructural development projects that we want to do. We don't have enough in that space. If we go into the hotel space, we don't have enough top quality chefs and top quality managers within the hotel belt that are emanating from Grenada. So I think we have to develop that. If we go even into the agricultural space and we speak of certified climate smart agriculture and certified people there, we're limited. Yeah, we're limited. So we have to find ways to build that. So a human resource gap is important. I think we also have to look at where we're trajecting. What is the big thing that we want to achieve in terms of IT? I think how we treat IT in the environment, not in the environment, but in Grenada, has to evolve. We need to be able to make sure that our young people are able to connect, because that's where the world is going. So our connectivity is a challenge that I think we have to improve on. And I mean, the list is long,
but
I think if we are able to articulate that long-term development plan and we start building our people, then I'm sure we can achieve that.
See if you can answer the question for me within a minute.
Sure.
I know it's long, but I want you to. Is there any relationship between your department and the government debt to GDP ratio? How do you influence our debt profile? It's a big question, but can you?
Simple. Our department, we lead the negotiation of financing. And if we negotiate grant, then Grenada benefits. If we do a horrible job in negotiating and we negotiate debt at high interest rate, then it's going to bring up our debt to GDP ratio. That's how we influence it. So our role under the Ministry of Finance and the leadership of the Minister of Finance is to get the best possible financing mechanism. And the best one is essentially grant. So the mandate for us right now is that funding ought to be grant and that heavy loans is to be avoided at all costs. That is how we influence it.
Mr. Ruel Edwards, head of the Department of Economic and Technical Cooperation. Man, you blazing. As you are saying, you blazing. Folks, he's on fire. I mean, the guy that we know is working. No, but you're clear. You know, you're 40 days in.
40 days
and you
in.
Pretty much has a clear understanding of where this need to go. You're young. You're brilliant.
Yeah.
Minds like that we need. And I'm sure there are other young people out there who need to come back home.
Mm.
And the opportunity that the Prime Minister has offered you. You're working, heading the marketing board.
Yes.
And he see the talent and gift in you, so he moved you into a place. And it seems that you like that feel a bit better than where you were.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, marketing board was great. It really was agriculture specific. Where I'm at now, it's every sector.
Right.
So I have a bias to agriculture, I must say. I do have a bias to agriculture. But it's every single sector I have an ability to work with the leadership in the Ministry of Finance and some of the other, all the other ministries to make a difference in Grenada. And I think that is what have me going, you know. So I said to my wife, I'm being paid to have fun. You know, it's not a stressful job at all. It's
because
really about
then you look that way. You talk with such clarity. and I mean, I love it. I love it. Congratulations to
you. Thank you very much.
I want to wish you well. You have my full support. As you know, I am head of the Development Bank. And I look forward in working with you to be able to make this country grow and develop and to help our private sector and the government to serve our people. Thank you very much.
Much appreciation.
All right, folks, you hear the man himself, Mr. Royal Edwards, the head of the Department of Economic and Technical Cooperation. Man, I like that young man. He's just exciting. Make you want to talk to him, but at least we have to end here. I look forward and join here next week at the same time. I will invite him back. I want to show you that because I know he's doing a lot. But I want to thank you for listening. May God bless you and keep you in every way. And this program of Inside Finance is a program of the government. And so we do it with that enjoyment to help you to have a better understanding of government. I'm Pastor Stanford Simon. Go to the website, sgbcgrenada.com. This program will be uploaded. And also go to the government website. Inside Finance will be uploaded on the Ministry of Finance government website, and where you can enjoy the luxury of listening at your own leisure. Take good care. Join me next week at the same time. We do it all over again right here on this station. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.